Regulators are not monsters or strange beings or anything like that. They are persons, human beings like you and me, Trevor. You can speak to them. They are eager for learning. They are in a lot of cases very open-minded, more than you can imagine.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sigma Podcast. We're back in 2024, and we're starting with one of my preferred guests over here. No offense to all the other guests I've had, but Aurora is a good and an old friend of mine, although she is young looking. But we've been friends for quite some time.
But I'm old, actually.
We've been friends for quite some time, and it's really a pleasure to host Aurora today. Aurora, who runs Ascenty Technologies, Aurora, who has a strong background in the tech testing part of the gaming sector, and we'll be discovering more about this sector and a bit more also about the Spanish market, because Aurora is quite an expert on that market. So, Aurora, good morning and Happy New Year, and welcome to Sigma Podcast.
Good morning, Trevor. Happy New Year, and thank you very much for this invitation. It is really a pleasure. Not only because being invited to this is like a wow big thing, but also because, as you said, we are old, but not old in age, old friends, and we've been in contact and living, surfing the wonderful waves of this sector for many years now.
Aurora, if you don't mind, before we start, however, I'd also like to remind the audience about the upcoming Sigma Eurasia event, which will be happening in February, between the 25th and the 27th of February, 2024. It's actually going to happen in just over a month's time. It will be happening in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. And should anyone be interested in registering for the event, then I recommend that you go into the website sigma.world, find more information, and you can register over there for the event. So I remind you, Sigma Eurasia taking place between the 25th and the 27th of February 2024. Thank you for that, Aurora. I had to make the announcement. Now, let's get down to the discussion. When we talk about gaming labs, certification, some people refer to them as a necessary evil sometimes.
Yep, I know
But
that.
what exactly do gaming labs do? What is their role in the gaming ecosystem?
Yeah, well, I think more and more their role is an important one. Think about it. Some years ago, not so many. I'm talking about 20-ish, but they are not so many for us. That is when I started, by the way, in the AI gaming sector in October. I will be my 20th anniversary in this sector. So some years ago, almost nothing was regulated, not to say nothing at all. iGaming was like a gray market, or even a black one. The trend and the evolution, the pattern that online gaming has been following across this year has been about regulating. Some jurisdictions started regulating gaming for, always different motives, but in most of the cases related to player protection, related to the control of the what we call the subjective prohibitions. So there's always been this type of
Excuse me for interrupting. What are subjective prohibitions, please?
subjective prohibitions are the prohibitions related to subjects. So, meaning everybody that is a PAP cannot play,
Okay, PEPs, sanctioned people, etc.
sports players, minors, people who have banned themselves or by court from playing, etc., etc. So those are the prohibited subjects. From that they are being controlled more and more, and that is very important for all regulators and regulations to not allow them to play. I mean, minors was the big first thing for obvious reasons, okay? But then this list has been getting wider, making more sense in some cases. In others, we might have some doubts. But together with this evolution in terms of player protection and responsible gaming and KYC, all these kind of related matters, there's also been a lot of a very nice learning process that has been suffered by the regulators that have been able to understand different tools and resources and possibilities that they have for making this sector more regulated, more controlled, more safe and secure for players, for operators, for suppliers everywhere. And also that's been by regulating, they have managed to protect the competence in the market, the competition in the market by having the right actors in the market, giving some guarantees to the players, to the governments, etc. So regulation, it's it's a nitty devil as well,
How,
like
how, how,
laboratories.
if I
Tell
may,
me.
if I may interrupt. So
Sure.
how do labs get involved with regulators? Because sometimes especially when you're operators or suppliers, you see that most of the times, for example, it's the labs which are assisting the regulators in formulating what the testing standards are, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. No, the thing is that I think that the approach with the interaction or communication, laboratory regulator, it has to be understood that's a very logical and natural one. I mean, regulators are not monsters or strange beings or anything like that. They are persons, human beings like you and me, Trevor. You can speak to them. They are eager for learning. They are in a lot of cases very open-minded, more than you can imagine. Some of them have a very technical profile, which is something that I love because I've always been a numbers girl with like math and logic and this kind of stuff. So conversations with this type of regulator is always a pleasure for me. I'm a bit of a geek. And yeah, then when they have to approach the complicated task of regulating gaming in the jurisdiction, okay, they need to look around, see what other jurisdictions have done, see what is good, what is bad, what is working, what really does not make so much sense. And for this, they could either read all the published regulations that are a lot that I can tell, or they could ask for help to those agents having to know these regulations. Okay. So that's where the laboratories come into picture. I can tell you that, for example, in Spain, when the DGOJ started thinking that back then they didn't even have like a proper name decided yet. But when they started thinking about regulating, they were approaching a lot of Spanish experts back then to ask for their opinions and everything. I was summoned there, but not because I was wow. I was summoned there because I was one of the few Spanish persons having had something to do in online gambling in the last years. We are talking about 2011 when the regulation was drafted in Spain. Yes, starting a little bit earlier. And I had already been in gaming for 7 years. That was like, wow.
You used to work for GLI, right?
Yeah, well, that was afterwards. As I always say, I started in the dark side of this industry. I was working back then for Enrique Dubois, that had a company related to, to nothing related to gaming. Okay. At some point, that business had to be shut down. And he decided to say, do, come with me for a project that I have about online gaming. We knew nothing about it. Okay. So we went aboard and we started learning from there. So I could say that Enrique was one of my, has been one of my mentors in this sector. Also, I would say Dominic Mansour, that he was the one promoting me from purely database analyst or something like that to product manager. Also, after I just had a baby, so I was doing less hours than the rest of the people, but I got promoted. So thank you, Dominic. And then, of course, I've had other colleagues and friends in the industry that have helped me. Thomas Witt, that sadly is no longer amongst us. Jesper Mortensen, and now I've convinced him to come join me for Access Technologies, and I'm super happy about it. And of course, my friend, team, and always respected colleague, Santiago Asensi, who is founder of Asensi Technologies together with me now. So,
I hope to have Santiago soon also on this podcast to
We
discuss this.
can we can work together convincing him to join. Yeah, I think he will be happy. But yeah, so back then the DGOJ needed help with with drafting the regulation, and that's why they called me after my dark times. Okay. That I think I'm redeemed for after these years working on the other side, the good side, the laboratory area. And then when I started being consulted, not really, just having conversations with the DGOJ, GLI came into picture. And despite the role they were advertising for had to be based in Madrid, I contacted them and I said, "Hey, I'm here and I've been working until now for myself. The last years I was a consultant, good one, I hope. And I would like to join you, but I'm not moving from Mallorca where I live." Okay. And they told me, "Yeah, we want you. Joined the team." So I was working for GLI. After that, I was CEO for the Gauselmann Group, now Merkur Group, for the online side of the business. CEO, no, it was more like general manager. Just think about that. Service ME. And then after that, it's when Santiago and myself, we had this meeting and we decided that maybe it would be an idea, a good idea to
To have
join
your own.
efforts and open up this laboratory.
If I may go back a couple of steps, you mentioned the regulator. Now, I also had the opportunity early, well, late in 2023 to interview Juan Espinoza,
Wow,
one of
yeah,
the
a good
first
one.
regulators in Spain. And you just mentioned it, a good one. How important is to have an open-minded regulator who will listen to advice from the other side in an open manner and not think that when I say the other side, because sometimes we're seeing even you yourself is the dark side. I also jumped to the dark side when I left the MGA at the time back in 2010 and went to GreenTube. But how important is it that the regulator is open to these ideas, is open to listening to people, listening and understanding.
Yeah, I think it's very important. It's key in the evolution of any market. I mean, you know, Trevor, we are in a sector that grows rapidly in terms of technology. Everything that is new in technology gets incorporated onto this sector because it's very easy to monetize. I mean, in other sectors maybe it can be some kind of fun, But here we can make money out of it, or my clients can make money out of it. So I think that a regulator that can keep the mind open and can see all these possibilities and all these new games, new ways of doing things, incorporating blockchain, incorporating artificial intelligence, all these kind of things, and moving fast. I think it's very important for the actors in that market. Operators want to have the last thing always. Providers want to be able to offer their full portfolio of games and tools and all this kind of stuff. So we need regulators that are open-minded and that they listen to the industry, and also they listen to what the players actually want. Because if the players do not find it in the regulated market, they will go to .com, no matter how much a regulator tries to prevent this from happening in their jurisdiction. Players go to .com if they are not happy with what they find in the local regulated operators.
Okay. When you say that you have regulators who try to limit the dot com, so you seem to be implying that those efforts do not fully succeed, right?
They do not, Trevor. I mean, it's almost impossible. First of all, when they issue some of these wonderful fines and big numbers, this regulator has, sent fines for a value of X million euro, whatever. Yeah, fines to who? I mean, are you gonna fine the person behind a company that is sitting here, there, and that you lose track of where is
You don't mention any specific countries. You're very diplomatic
No. I'm very,
in your
politically correct. I'm trying to. It's the beginning of the conversation between you and me, and because we are friends, maybe I can go to the
Yes,
politically
no, I get
incorrect
you.
side,
I get you completely. I understand
But
you.
I also think about it. Blocking IPs. Another measure that goes nowhere. I mean, when I was in the dark side of the industry back then, I was working for a dot com website, mainly focused on bingo. That, thankfully, it's soft gaming. And every time that they were blocking our IPs in some countries, they were finding the way to telling the players, go to this other one. No. So redirecting and this kind of stuff. And I mean, technology is making a lot of these measures implemented by regulators absolutely useless. Some regulators are taking a little bit more, how to say it, practical approach when saying that the ones that are gonna be made responsible of the dot-com market could also be some of the in-between actors. So let's say if you go and tell PayPal, if you continue, I'm saying PayPal because it's a very well-known example, if you continue supporting operations, deposit withdrawals, etc., for dot-com, dot-com operators in my market, you're going to be banned from all type of e-commerce in my market. Okay, these things could maybe go to places, but as you can understand, they are not easy to implement.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's not easy at all to implement these things. And with technology nowadays, you can find so many different ways to go
Of
around.
course, of course.
In Spain, what sort of restrictions are in place? I think there are some form of advertising restrictions, right, in the market.
A lot of them, yeah, a lot
Now,
of.
when you look at advertising restrictions, and I think sponsorship restrictions as well, then you
Correct.
look at another country, which is also Mediterranean in culture, the Italians.
Yep.
The Italians did put an advertising restriction in place, but they've been very pragmatic about how they apply that advertising restriction. I don't know if you're aware of what's going on.
I know, I know, I know.
So, when you see that, is there such a pragmatic approach in Spain, or is it a heavy-handed approach?
I have to say it because you're twisting my arm because I shouldn't.
I'm not twisting your
But
arm, huh?
I think it's a heavy approach. It's not really sustained by well gathered and analyzed data. It's just the opposite we've seen in a lot of markets. Italy is a very good example that these prohibitions and never getting to a good end. Okay, I've always been against prohibitions. I think everything should be about pedagogy and about learning, teaching, finding a wise way of doing things. I mean, the first ones wanting a healthy market, believe it or not, are the operators. They don't want issues with with problematic gamblers. They don't want issues with prohibited individuals. They don't want issues with minors. They want their life to be as easy as possible. That's a general rule, eh? Of course, we could always think of exception like with everything else, but as a general rule, that's the idea. I think this type of markets where prohibition is the key, instead of trying to find nice technical solutions. I'm a technical girl, so yeah, I will continue with this speech. But nice technical solutions, nice intelligent and logical solutions. This is the answer, not prohibitions, and even more, not prohibitions based on nothing.
Prohibitions not based on, sorry, I didn't catch you there.
On anything, on anything.
Without, okay, so prohibitions which have been imposed without any form of, let's say,
Correct.
analysis or study.
Analysis or based on data, A/B testing. I don't know, something, you know.
Is there an effort right now? Because, for example, in Italy, I know for a fact that the FIGC, so the Italian Federation of Football, and the Italian Federation of Basketball, FIP, FIP, are, let's say, not say protesting, but they are presenting arguments to government to tell them that the money from gambling sponsorships, is necessary for the clubs to move forward.
Of
Is there
course.
any effort taking place in Spain?
There we've been having a lot of press releases and conventions and meetings with the regulator together with J Digital, that is this official association for digital gaming, online gaming in Spain,
Okay.
trying to really make the point, trying to explain that all the money that the different teams and federations and everything were getting from online operators was a really important source of income for the different teams and clubs. So yeah, I think it has really damage this sector, and you can see it quite easily because some of the teams or clubs or federations in Spain have an online gaming related sponsor outside of Spain. So they still try to get money from that source, because it's interesting money, but they cannot do it in Spain. I think it says something.
It doesn't really make sense, but
No,
okay.
no.
Fingers crossed, however, that maybe the things change on a legislative front on the Spanish side in order to, let's say, because when you go and get a license, one of the things which you're getting that license also for the rights to be allowed to advertise lawfully within the Spanish market.
Correct. To differentiate, yeah,
You've
to
taken away
differentiate.
that initiative. You've taken away that advantage from operators.
Yeah,
Aurora,
from the dot-com operators.
we just have a couple of minutes left before we
Good.
stop. Any final points which you would like to make regarding the Spanish market, as in where you see the Spanish market heading in 2024? More of the same, or are there any changes expected?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that first of all, we know that there are changes coming. So it's not about me ver being very smart or anything like that, guessing. So we know that there are changes coming. We know that the Spanish market, the Spanish regulatory regime is being looked, after carefully by other jurisdictions like Peru and Colombia and Latin America in general. That's why Ascenso Technologies is taking an international leap, but this is an exclusive. But I'm not going to say much more now. But we know that in Spain there are changes coming, big changes. Some of these changes are, of course, related to responsible gaming. It's a big trend nowadays everywhere globally with regards to online gaming. I think one of the things that might make a little bit of a difference is that we are expecting new types of online games to be authorized in Spain, especially the ones that we call live games. Right now, only roulette is authorized for live games as a live game in Spain, the only live casino game that is authorized. And you have to think that live roulette is currently the second most played casino game in Spain, just after slots. Slots are in first place with 2.5 billion euro of quarterly wagered amount. Live roulette is nearly 2 billion euro. And the third one would be a conventional roulette and blackjack that are below 300 million euro. So we are not talking billions anymore
But
since
it's still good money.
2021. But think about it, the difference. We're talking billions more than two for slots and for live roulette. And then the rest will move in the range of 300 million, so unless,
The
then
Spanish
also
market is a large market, and
it
there are
is,
still numbers to like.
we have gambling in our soul, I would say. So it's something that it's in our genes. And then of course there's this big project that the DGOJ is very proud of and is looking forward to go live with. That is what they call the player portal. That will be a portal in which players will be able to manage a lot of the tools that the DGOJ is putting in place for player protection. And that will include the infamous, we'll see it. Infamous combined deposit limits is national deposit limits that players can configure to apply across all the .ES operators. So, yeah.
So there's a lot in the pipeline, a lot in
There's a
the
lot. There's a lot coming soon, and I think there will be very good
pipeline.
news and also some concerning ones. But I can also tell you, Trevor, that despite all these changes and restrictions and like very strict technical requirements that need to be implemented fast by the operators and the suppliers in Spain, the Spanish market is still growing. It's growing in a way that it's a healthy way. It's growing in a way that is sustainable. So this is what really matters. We are making a better market, and operators and suppliers that are doing things well still benefit from it and still continue benefiting from it. So the future
Okay.
is unknown, but always interesting. I'm very passionate about this sector, and I can tell you
Thank
that
you.
I'm looking forward to news. Yeah.
Aurora, I'd like to thank you very much for joining the podcast today. It was a pleasure to have you as a
Thank you,
guest.
Trevor, really.
And I urge all viewers to carry on watching the Sigma World YouTube channel if you haven't subscribed. And also push the button for notifications so you are aware also when new content, not just the podcasts, but other content is published on the site, on the page, on the YouTube page of Sigma World. And Aurora, thank you so much. And I
Good
wish you the
travel.
best of luck for the coming year. Thank you.